Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, you know what we do on Fridays now. We've gotten to be a regular thing. So JP's getting a lot of airtime today because we do this thing, and you got a sound effect for it. You know you do. We like to call it JP on Sports. JP on Sports. It's a combination of sound effect and me just yelling in the microphone. We're gonna polish that up though.
Whenever I decide to sit down and actually do that,
we're gonna get it for you because this is like a recurring segment. We get a lot of feedback on this. So for those of y'all that don't know, the JP man is like a savant on sports. And he's got his own show Saturday mornings on The Ump out of Huntsville. Talk about that briefly.
From 9 to 11, we'll be breaking down the 10 games from that day. And this weekend is tomorrow. Tomorrow, Wesley Britt will be joining us as our guest picker. And we'll be doing an interview with him at 10:30. And then afterwards, he'll be our guest picker.
So Wesley Britt, husband of U.S. Senator Katie Britt, himself a former All-American, played for Alabama as a lineman.
Played in the NFL,
and
too.
And then went to the Patriots after that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Good get.
Yep.
All right. We do it in two segments. First segment, we call it the three and out. You give us your big three stories in sports, and then you jump into the next segment on 2 minute warnings. Mm-hmm. So take it away, bud.
Well, I got to talk about this game because who would have thought that if before the season you talk about the Notre Dame Navy game, who would have thought that would be a big time ranked matchup? And it is now.
It is.
Navy is ranked 24th. And I can't remember how far Army jumped up, but last week, before this, these past rankings, it was the first time both Army and Navy were ranked in the same week since 1960.
Wow.
And now I believe Army is around 23. They may be 23 and 24 right now, actually, Army and Navy. So Navy will be going to play at Notre Dame, currently undefeated, and Notre Dame with their one loss at number 12. They really can't afford to lose another game if they want to be in the playoffs. But a funny storyline with this game, both Army and Navy will play Notre Dame at some point. So if they both finish out and they're both undefeated, they're going to have to play in the American Conference Championship game, and then the week after that have to play in the Army-Navy game. So if Army and Navy both finish out undefeated, we're going to have back-to-back Army-Navy games playing against each other.
No kidding?
Yeah. And it could end up deciding who gets into the playoffs, but the scenario I'm pulling for is they both finish out undefeated. One team wins the conference championship. The other team wins the Army-Navy game. So now you don't know what to do.
All right, so which one is bigger, though? I mean, you think that Army-Navy is like Auburn-Alabama. It's like a huge rivalry. But then you definitely want to go on to a bowl.
I mean,
you definitely want you want the post season stuff to happen.
Yeah, that's what I was talking to my dad about this, and I was like, "How do they not think this through?" And he was like, "Well, they were never in a conference until recently, and they never been.
That's true.
They both never been good enough to where this was a problem either at the same time. So they're gonna have to change that after this.
So someone somewhere is stroking their chin, going, "Wow,
how did we let this happen? We let this go under the radar."
All right, that's your first on the three and out. What else you got?
Well, I got to talk about the Alabama-Missouri game because now for the second time this season, Alabama will be looking to bounce back after a loss playing at home.
If y'all could see the crestfallen look on his face right now.
You know, it's a part of me. Look, I've never had to labor to watch Alabama football in my whole life, but now it's getting to a point where there's a part of me that's like,
you dread it.
Well, I dread it because even if we win, I know it's not going to be a fun experience because, you know, our wins lately have not been good to watch either. But
welcome to being an Auburn fan.
Yeah, it's new territory for me, but it's Alabama. Look, there's still a chance if Alabama wins out, they still could sneak into the playoffs at like the 10th or 11th seed or something, but they have to win out. And it starts with playing a ranked Missouri at home. I do think Missouri is highly overrated, but Missouri is also, I believe I saw, number 9th in the nation in terms of third down conversions, which has been Alabama's biggest weak spot on defense. They can't get off the field. So if Missouri can continue to convert on third down, then it could be trouble in Bryant Denny. But I still think Alabama overall is the better team. I mean, Missouri and Auburn went head to head, and I think Auburn is currently one of the lower tier teams in the SEC. I feel like you would agree with that too.
So Bama's got them at home this weekend, though.
Yes, but you know, there are some statistics that would worry Alabama fans when you look at them, but I think overall Alabama is the better team. And there's been players this week talking about how after this loss, they've ramped up the strictness on certain stuff. Like Alabama, when Saban was there, had a strict tuck shirt rule during practices that got really lax. Apparently that's back on. Apparently they're being much stricter on being early to meetings, which in my head I hear that. It's like, why didn't you just do that in the first place? But anyways, yeah. but it seems that they're shifting and trying to bring the standard back up to what it was.
They're
under instilling Saban.
Personal disciplines.
Yes. So hopefully that translates and Alabama can go on a roll to finish out the season, but they still got to play at LSU before the season's over, and that's going to be hard.
All right. About 3.5, 4 minutes. What's your number three on the 3 and out?
Well, another in-state team, Auburn, will be playing Kentucky today, or excuse me, tomorrow. Look, it's funny because there's so many stats that I see. Auburn ranks so well amongst teams that are like one or two lost teams, and then Auburn has two wins amongst the mix. So that, I think that tells you that Auburn, they've played well, but they just cannot find out how to win games. They, when it gets down to the end, they cannot figure out a way to win. They had the Missouri game in their grips last week, and they let it slip out. And I think that's just been the story of the season. But they got Kentucky this week. This is a very winnable game for Auburn. Kentucky is – I'm very unimpressed with Kentucky. I thought they were going to beat Florida this past week, but Florida just stomped them. So got Kentucky coming in with their tail between their legs. This should be a game that Auburn wins. I think Auburn is the much better team than Kentucky, and you know, hopefully they can get some momentum going to finish out the season.
What are we, 5 consecutive losses on Auburn right now?
I believe so, actually.
I think yes. It's one of the first times we've seen 5 consecutive. Even in our bad seasons, we didn't have 5 consecutive losses.
I don't think Hugh Freeze is quite on the hot seat yet, but I've wondered myself if there's a breaking point this season of, you know, record-wise, where they're like, we can't even keep you around another season. I'm not sure. I think he has enough good recruits coming in. They'll give him at least one more season. But it's still not – I mean, still not a great look.
He doesn't have any real gimme games. I mean, Kentucky's a game that we should see a win, but it's not like it's a gimme season after that.
No. I haven't looked at their record at the rest of their conference schedule, but obviously the Iron Bowl in Alabama this year, they still have to play that. So, but Kentucky is a very gettable game for them, like I said. So let's see if they can turn momentum before going down the home stretch.
So let me ask you this. The old rule was you can lose every game at Auburn as long as you beat Alabama.
That's pretty much it. I mean, it's listen, they should not have fired Gus Malzahn. I mean, they're still trying to regroup from that awful decision. But there were a lot of seasons where Auburn, you know, would go 7-5 or something, and people want Malzahn fired. He'd pull off the Iron Bowl, and he's beloved again. He's just got a contract extension, you know. So if Hugh Freeze can, you know, go into now. The Alabama team that's playing at that point could be – there's no telling what that team is. If Alabama somehow drops a game in that time period, which they very well could, they still have to play LSU, and they're out of the playoff picture. Auburn could be playing a very down in morale Alabama. Or if they go on a roll and they went out and they're in the playoffs at that time, they could be playing a very hot Alabama. So it's hard to tell what that game is going to look like right now because either team could get on a roll and could be in very different spots than they are right now.
I'm an Army fan now.
Yeah. The triple option putting up 48 points is certainly impressive, I have to say.
Well, I'm just still loving the strangeness of what you just described a moment ago with the Army Navy both like having the potential for back-to-back Army Navy games, which would be the first time in the history of ever.
Yes. and exposes a loophole that they're going to have to fix.
Exactly. All right. Listen, brother, that's good stuff. That's 3 and out, round 1 of JP on Sports. We're going to come right back from this break, and that's when we switch the gear. I actually get a timer out, and there's a buzzer. He has a 2-minute warning. He can do 2-minute segments on his topics of choice related to sports, and I'm pretty sure somewhere in there's a World Series discussion. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth you can put on a bumper sticker. All right, so this is round 2 of JP on Sports. So if you haven't already noticed, JP's pretty good on sports. He's got a lot of knowledge about a lot of stuff, about a lot of things sports. He has his own show on Saturday mornings. By the way, we said earlier it's on the up, but where is that on the dial?
103.9 FM, 7:30 a.m.
103.9 FM, 7:30 a.m. The Ump out of Huntsville, off the bench, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. In the meantime, all right, here's the deal. 2-minute warnings. I have the timer. Go.
All right. Well, first off, the World Series starts tonight between the Dodgers and the Yankees, which is the World Series I was not rooting for, just because I mean, there's on one sense it's, you know, those are the two best and most deserving teams to be in the World Series, but at the same time, it's Dodgers and Yankees. I mean, it's kind of a boring World Series, but I'm excited to see Shohei Ohtani play in the World Series, Aaron Judge for the Yankees, Juan Soto for the Yankees, but there's a part of me too that wants the Yankees to win because, you know, Freddie Freeman, who plays for the Dodgers, he was a career-long Braves player. He was like, as far as I knew, when I was alive, Freddie Freeman was on the Braves, and then broke my heart when he went to the Dodgers. I actually cried when that happened. There's very few times I've cried when sports stuff has happened. That was one of them. And so he won the World Series with the Braves in 21. That's currently his only World Series ring. And I don't want him to get another with another team, you know, deep down. So I'm kind of pulling for the Yankees for that fact. But no, I mean, other than it being Dodgers, Yankees, and kind of a boring scenario, it is going to be exciting because these are the two best, you know, high powered teams with the best players. So it is fun in that aspect. But it would have been fun to see a hot team like the Mets, you know, a Mets Yankees World Series that would also kind of been boring.
It'd been boring, but I think it would have been a hoot for New York City. I mean, then all you do is driving across town to share the fields, you know.
That would have been interesting to see, you know, who has the home field advantage because you're both playing in the same city. I mean, even a Mets game, you're going to have plenty of Yankees fans there, but I mean, yeah, ESPN is going to get a load of the Dodgers-Yankees. I mean, I can already tell they're going to be promoting that like crazy. I mean, talk about earlier, $5,000 tickets for this game. This World Series sells itself, so.
All right, two-minute warning on that one. Let's go ahead and reset the clock. Next two-minute warning, what do you got?
So I got to talk about this controversy that happened last night in the NFL game between the Rams and the Vikings. It's been getting a lot of attention. There was a blatant missed call in the game that costed the Vikings the game in a lot of people's eyes. It was when it happened, it was 28-20, so 8-point game. The Vikings got the ball back at time for one more drive. They're in their own end zone, and Darnold gets sacked for a safety, but his head spun literally almost to the back where he was facing behind him from a face mask of the guy grabbing his face mask and pulling it right in front of the referee, and the ref did not call the face mask that was right in front of him, and the Vikings end up getting a safety, and that's the end of the game because they don't you kick the ball to the Rams after that. So it's been talk of Twitter all day today. I've seen a lot of people saying the NFL is rigged, NFL is scripted, this is obvious, and, you know, because the ref was sitting right in front of it and didn't call the face mask. But it's just another case of NFL referees being extremely incompetent, and it's been mind-boggling to me that with how much money the NFL has, you're the premier football organization in America, and you still have stuff like this happening that's costing teams games. It's awful.
So was he deep in his own end zone, or was he riding the line somewhere?
No, he was deep in his own end zone, running
so
out of the pocket.
So like the ref was watching his feet to see where the line was.
No, he was, I mean, he had just kind of entered the end zone, running to the right, scrambling, and the guy literally grabs his face mask, pulls it back as he's tackling him. His head snaps, and there's no flag, ends up costing the Vikings the game.
Wow.
So, like I said, this has been the talk of sports all day today, and there's just NFL refs have got to get better. I understand it's an extremely hard job, but, you know,
is there punishment though? Do they have a supervising board that comes back and says we're fining you, Mr. Ref, for that?
Nope, and that's part of the problem is they tend to back the refs a bit too much in those scenarios and support them. I get it; those are your, you know, employees, but at the same time, there's got to be an accountability. Like even like in college football or the SEC, when there's a missed call, the next day there's normally a statement, you know.
All right, you got two-minute warnings down. Let's reset the clock. What else you got?
Oh, it's another interesting storyline. You know, the NBA season just started, and for the first time ever, we saw father and son on the court at the same time.
LeBron and LeBronny.
LeBron James Jr. playing for the Lakers with LeBron, obviously still on the Lakers. LeBron James Jr. or Bronny was drafted by the Lakers this past season. And, you know, LeBron has always said that before he retires, he wants to play on the same court with one of his sons. So this appears to be the Lakers doing LeBron a favor because, you know, a lot of people don't think Bronny is good enough to be in the NBA right now. And it's, you know, he's probably going to struggle. And you kind of feel bad for Bronny, too, because instead of developing in college and getting to the point where you're actually league ready, your dad's putting pressure on you, like, I want to retire soon. You're coming to the NBA now. And now he's kind of just ousted it, you know, into the fire already when he's probably not ready to be in the NBA yet. But nevertheless, it's still pretty cool to see, you know, a father and son playing together on the same court. It's pretty.
Didn't LeBron, the senior LeBron, didn't he go straight from high school?
He did. He went straight from high school.
He was a freak of nature, too.
Oh, I don't think the game will ever see, you know, talent like LeBron James again. Obviously, there's this new player, Victor Wembanyama, who is a specimen of his own. But in terms of at such a young age, straight out of high school, going to be league ready like that, I mean, the NBA is never going to see something like that again. So he was a special circumstance. His son, on the other hand, I think could have used a couple more years in college to develop. But still pretty cool, though. Father and son on the same team playing at the same time.
And you got in just under the wire. So there's that. Oh, well, you gave yourself the buzzer anyway. All right. We got time for one more. We have one. How much time we got?
We got about 1 minute.
All right. Let's see if you can get it 1 minute out of a 2 minute warning. Go ahead.
Well, there's a big UFC pay per view this weekend. I'm stoked for. I'll actually be up in Huntsville this weekend, and me and my friends make sure that we're all getting together to watch this one because it's a big time one. Max Holloway will be fighting Ilia Topuria for the 145 belt, but then also Khamzat Chimaev is making his return to fight Robert Whittaker. These names probably don't mean anything to you, but they're big in the MMA
world. Nothing at all.
So they're fighting in Abu Dhabi, which they're actually the card will be an afternoon card right before the college games. So literally, I will be sitting down on the couch watching UFC straight into college football. I will not be getting up from the couch after that for the rest of the day. You got the back-to-back of UFC and college football. But, yeah, I'm super stoked for this card. It's a big-time one, and, yeah, big one.
All right. Good enough, man. You got that under the wire, too.
We got about 20 seconds left, too.
That's outstanding. All right, so remind folks again where they can find you on Saturday mornings if they want to, besides like on the couch where you're watching UFC and football.
From 9 to 11 a.m. over on the UMP Talk Radio, 103.9 FM, 7:30 a.m. Off the Bench with Kelsey and JP. Reminder, Wesley Britt will be our picker this weekend, and we'll also be doing an interview with him at 10:30, so stay tuned for that, too.
Outstanding. That's JP on sports, and JP is on sports, too, let me just tell you. All right, you guys, listen, we're coming right back. I got somebody calling in. If you're a car guy, you want to know what's going on in the Huntsville region this weekend, I'm going to be there. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.